Well, if you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, please turn with me to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. We'll be wrapping up chapter 1 this afternoon, as well as working through chapter 2 in today's text. The book of Jonah, chapter 1, and we will begin reading at verse 17. Before we do so, let us go before our Lord once again together in prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word that you have so graciously given to us. And we pray now, Lord, that you would give us your spirit to open our eyes and our ears and our understanding to the wonderful truths that are herein in your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Beloved, this is the very word of God. Please give your careful attention to the reading of it. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Amen. Thus far, the reading of his word. Well, beloved in Christ, last week we considered Jonah being cast out of the boat and into the sea. The sailors did what God commanded be done to Jonah, and God came through with what Jonah knew he would do. Jonah was cast into the sea, and the Lord calmed the sea. Today we are going to consider his crying out to God. As Jonah thought that he was cast into the waters that would soon be his grave, he soon found out that what God prepared in the waters of the sea would be the means of his rescue and deliverance. I don't know how many of you have gone swimming in the ocean. But typically, we go to the beach, we play or swim in the water along the shore, but we don't go far out into the sea. We are even careful to watch our children to make sure that they're safe and to teach them to stay close. But why do we do these things? Well, there are creatures in the sea that are dangerous. The sea itself is dangerous. The creatures are fun to look at on YouTube, but not in person. Swimming close to us or coming at us even. The sea itself has currents and waves that are dangerous, especially to those who are in the water with no special gear or protection. One would be hard-pressed to survive in the deep sea alone. We like to play along the shore, but the deep sea is no playground. Strong men sail and die at sea. And so even though Jonah knew that he needed to be cast into the sea, the thoughts that were going through his head were very difficult as he considered his situation, his sin, and God's response. How do we know what he was thinking? Well, he tells us in today's text through his cry to God in prayer. It was really a psalm of thanksgiving from a literary structure perspective. We see that Jonah's prayer is organized in a similar fashion to other thanksgiving psalms. First, we see a petition for deliverance. And secondly, we see a recounting of his situation, his crisis. And then we see the review of his deliverance and finally, praise for his deliverance. And so before we look at this marvelous prayer, let's consider the means by which God delivered Jonah. And in verse 17, we see that Jonah is swallowed up. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. My friends, this verse opens by teaching us of the ongoing work of our God. Things worked out exactly in the way that God had planned. Just as the storm was from God's hand, just as the calm of the storm was from his hand, so too, this fish was prepared, literally appointed by God. And there are some interesting facts that the Lord reveals to us about this fish in this verse. In God's appointment, this fish was exactly the right instrument for the task that God appointed it to do. And further, it was in the right place at the right time in the vicinity of Jonah's boat by God's direction. We are told that it was a great fish. And so this fish was very large in size. It was huge. Think about it. It had to be large enough to hold Jonah, an adult man, in its belly. Some have thought that this fish was a whale. And we see the pictures in children's books, and it may very well have been. Some translations translate it as whale. However, the Hebrew or Greek in Matthew 12, 40, for that matter, don't specify that. The Hebrew root word for this fish, daga, is the general word for fish. And the Greek words in Matthew 12 can be translated great fish or even a large sea monster. And so God's providing this fish is marvelous. God was the only one who could have prepared this fish. And it was special in that it would have had to be able to produce oxygen in its belly, if you think about it, for Jonah to breathe and to stay alive. Further, its contents and the enzymes in its stomach would have had to have been affected by God so that Jonah wasn't consumed and digested by the fish. There was supernatural divine intervention. There was supernatural divine work by God in preparing this fish for exactly the task that it needed to accomplish with Jonah in its belly. And so this great fish swallowed Jonah. Jonah wasn't chewed up, he wasn't torn apart, he wasn't damaged, but he was swallowed whole. And he stayed there for 3 days and three nights. In many ways, it also reminds us of other stories in Scripture where the three men were in the fiery furnace, unscathed, untouched, unsinged by the very hand of God. And so we ask the question, why 3 days and three nights? Why didn't God just use the fish as an efficient transport vehicle to get Jonah to land the same day? Why 3 days and three nights? Well, there are two reasons, at least, why this is important. Jonah being in the belly of the fish was a continued time of chastening by God as he worked in Jonah and taught him things regarding repentance and obedience and prayer and his grace and his salvation. Jonah had time to contemplate, to think, and to pray. Jonah was truly broken here. God has a way of breaking down his servants, showing them that they are but clay, and then raising them up, that they would preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the glory of God. And here, God broke Jonah, taking him to the depths, to the brink of death, that Jonah would learn and grow in God's school of grace, prepared then to preach and to call Nineveh to repentance. And more importantly, as I've mentioned before, in this event, Jonah is pointing us to Christ himself. If you recall, Jesus, as he was talking to some of the scribes and Pharisees, spoke of this in Matthew 12:38 through 41, when he said, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here.'" And so Jonah, my friends, points us to Christ. Jonah was the type. Jesus is the antitype, the substance, the reality. In both cases, there is a kind of death and resurrection. Jonah says in his prayer that his dying was as a descent into hell. And yet God brought up Jonah's life from the pit. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so that he would be the type pointing to Christ. For Jesus was crucified and buried in the tomb for 3 days and three nights before he rose from the dead. As Jonah's grave was a strange and new one, so Christ was laid in a new tomb. As Jonah's life was sacrificed and restored, raised from the belly of hell, so Christ died, sacrificing his life for sinners, and was raised demonstrating his victory. Both events speak of the satisfaction of divine justice. Both events speak of the satisfaction of divine justice. Our Lord tells us in Matthew 12 that he is the greater than Jonah. Jonah was a prophet sent and delivered by God, but Jesus is the Messiah, the true deliverer. Jesus is the Son of God who came to save his people from their sins. And he did. He bought and he brought the true peace and reconciliation between his people and God. Jesus is not only the greater than Jonah, but the writer to the Hebrews tells us that he's greater than the angels. He has supremacy over all things. He is greater than Moses. He is greater than Aaron. He is greater than Joshua. He is greater than all. He has preeminence
He is Lord and King.
And so Jonah cries out to the ever-living God. And we see this in chapter 2. And in beginning in verse 1, we see that Jonah being preserved alive with his judgment and memory fully intact, he prays. You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Prayer is an essential piece in the life of the Christian. Prayer shouldn't be coming and shouldn't be something that we just resort to when we are at the end of our rope. But rather, it should be something that we are active in before our time with our rope even begins. Humble, joyful, thankful, penitent, sometimes sorrowful, and pain-filled cries of communication to God. Make sure that you are committed to being that type of prayerful person daily. Daily bringing your requests before the living and true God with thankfulness in your heart for His mercies. Remember, God spoke to Ananias and called Ananias in Acts chapter 9 to go to the house on the street called Straight and to lay his hands on the repentant Paul. God told Ananias to do this, though Ananias knew Paul thus far as the one who puts to death the saints. God encouraged him that Paul prays. Paul was saved and redeemed by God. Such a radical transformation. And this was a sign that he was truly converted. Paul was a man of prayer. And so Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God in the midst of severe chastening. He recognized himself to be in covenant relationship with God. He recognized himself to be wedded to God and God to be faithfully committed to him. And so Jonah prayed from the bottom of his heart, from indeed the deep and the bottom of the fish's belly. He could demonstrate the disposition that Job had, that we see in Job 13, verse 15, when he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And here Jonah prays from the belly of the great fish to God. Amen. Jonah was just about dead. The very point that he might give up, God gave him grace to pray. He was in full surrender to his God. And we see two aspects in his prayer. We see his descriptions of what it was like down in the depths. But we also see the victory in faith. And as we consider what it was like down in the depths, we see his condition. Jonah speaks of his condition in two areas: his spiritual troubles and his physical troubles. And the two run parallel with each other in this prayer. Hugh Martin said this in his comments: "The prayer of Jonah is like an illustrious instance of the conflict between sense and faith. It discloses the action and reaction in the prophet's soul, sense prompting despair and faith pleading for hope." And in verse 2, Jonah said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction." Jonah cried out, and notice, God answered him. Not only did he cry out, but he recognized that the Lord heard and that the Lord answered his prayer. Like Jonah, we should take comfort in answered prayers. What great comfort it is to know that in the depths of your trouble, you have been heard by Almighty God. His answer may be yes, It may be no, it may be wait. But it's a tremendous comfort to know that our God hears our prayers and that He engages and that He draws near in answering our prayers. We can agree with David in Psalm 65 when he said, "Praise is waiting you, O God, in Zion. And to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them." Indeed, He hears our prayers. And He heard Jonah's prayer, and we consider the content of Jonah's cry. And notice a couple of things. The descriptions and illustrations of God's casting and Jonah's descent into the depths is notable. But also the glorious word, yet. It's like the glorious words in Romans, for example, "but God, who is rich in mercy." And here we see "yet," followed by words of faith. And thirdly, we find temple language, as well as deliverance and salvation. He also informs us in verse 2 that He was in the belly of Sheol, literally the belly of hell. He was in the belly of the grave, and again He says, "And you heard my voice." He goes on to say in verse 3, "For you cast me into the deep." Now, wasn't it the sailors who cast Jonah overboard? Well, indeed, yes, it was. However, Jonah was able to look beyond the men and to see that they were the instruments in God's action of casting Jonah in. And he then goes on to say, "And the floods surrounded me," again describing these depths. "All your billows and your waves passed over me." And here Jonah gives us a description of the physical reality of him sinking into the sea and the sea enveloping over his head. "And then I said, I have been cast out of your sight." For Jonah, the ultimate horror of death was separation from the presence of the Lord. And notice, the very thing that he ran from in chapter 1. For he ran from the presence of God, trying to escape His presence, trying to leave His presence in his run. Now Jonah in the belly of hell recognizes that it would be a horrible thing to be separated from God. And so it is in this time of chastening, in this place, that Jonah feels like he has been cast away from the presence of the Lord, cut off from all hope of life among men, rejected and forsaken. And in verses 5 and 6, Jonah then recounts more of his physical troubles as he says, "The waters surrounded me even to my soul." And even here, when he spoke to his physical troubles, he here also relates it to the spiritual realities. But then he tells us of the weeds wrapped around his head, his descent to the moorings of the mountain, more vivid detail of the depths of the sea and the depth of his condition, all the way down to the floor. But yet, there is the hope of faith that God grants Jonah. There is the hope of faith that He works in him. Verse 4, we see glorious turning point in the midst of despair. After saying that he was cast out of God's sight, Jonah says, "Yet I will look again toward your holy temple." He said something similar also in verse 7.
When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer went up to you and to your holy temple.
Though Jonah's heart was riddled with fear and sorrow and difficulties, he didn't direct his thoughts inward toward himself, but rather outward and even upward in his language toward God. Here we see Jonah's faith as he longed for communion with God. He desired to look upon God's temple again. He desired that God would hear him and give him comfort and strength and aid. Remember, the temple in Jerusalem was the earthly location of the divine special presence of God. It was the place where the Ark of the Covenant was and the mercy seat, where propitiatory sacrifices were offered, where the high priest was. And these point us to Christ, by whom sin is expiated, where sinners are forgiven, grace and favor are communicated, and where God commands blessing and everlasting life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 6, after speaking of his going down to the roots and to the moorings of the mountain, he tells of the great deliverance of God. "Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God." There was nothing that Jonah could do to rescue himself. There is nothing that we can do, beloved, in and of ourselves to rescue ourselves from such a pit. But yet, even as his life was in the Lord's hands, so is ours. God and God alone was the one who delivered Jonah, bringing him up from that pit. And Jonah then ends his prayer in worship. Verse 9. "I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord," Jonah said. This reminds us of Hebrews 13:15. "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God." That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. My friends, salvation truly is of the Lord. The Lord has brought up our lives from the pit, out of the miry clay, and has set our feet upon the rock that is Jesus Christ. This truth and reality, like Jonah, should move us to praise and to give thanksgiving. We cannot but worship. And so in verse 10, we see that the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. When God had Jonah at his mercy, he showed Jonah mercy. Jonah learned what God intended him to learn. It would soon be time for Jonah to arise and to go. And Jonah would need to get out of the fish's belly in order to go. And so, in another piece of the Lord's deliverance, God commands the fish to vomit Jonah out. And there are two things to note about this. Even this is a type and a figure of the resurrection of Christ. As on the third day, Christ rose from the grave, so Jonah on the third day was spewed from the fish's mouth. The location of Jonah being ejected from its mouth is also important. If the fish spewed him out into the sea, he would have drowned. But yet on the land, Jonah was where he needed to be to go forth and to preach. So I'll leave you with this. God can
and sometimes does miraculously preserve his people. Have some of you been inches away from death? Some of you probably have. Some of you have been in accidents or near accidents where sudden death was possible. Jonah was very close to death, yet God preserved him. Jonah still had something to do to glorify God in this life. Jonah still had something to do that was a response and a piece of God's call. And so God is at work, preserving and persevering us for his service as well. Be committed daily to serve him with your whole being, with your whole heart, for his glory. But also, we need to be a people who pray. If you are sitting here thinking, you know, I just don't know how to pray, or I'm not that good at it, and so I just don't do it very often, come and talk to me. Come and talk to other brothers and sisters, and we'll help you. We need to pray to God every day, not just in perilous times where we are at the end of our rope and in desperate need of rescue, but also in the good times, the joyful times. For he is our God. He is in intimate relationship with us. We share all of these times. He knows everything about us, and he calls us to have this communication with him. At all times, like Jonah, even like Paul told the church in Philippi, our prayers need to include thanksgiving, along with our petitions, our needs, and our requests. Finally, God gives us hope in otherwise hopeless times and situations. What hope does he give us? He has given us his Son. He has given us his Spirit. He gives us his very presence. He has given us his holy word. And like Jonah, we have hope in our salvation, because salvation truly is from the Lord. Consider afresh today the salvation that is yours in Christ. Remember, the hope that we have in Christ is a hope that won't disappoint. He is faithful, and he will keep his promises, every last one of them. Not only will he complete that good work that he has begun in you, but he is coming again in glory to take us home, to be in glory with him forever. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more battle with sin and temptation, no more peril. Amen. Only joyous, glorious, worship-filled eternity with the one who loves us with an everlasting love. This is the God who Jonah served. And this is the God who we serve and we belong to. This is the God who has given us such a great and glorious hope. May God grant us grace as we consider Jonah's prayer to remember the great deliverance of our God. Amen. Let us pray.